Amen. Thanks, Brother Calvin. Take your Bibles, if you will. Psalms, the book of Psalms in the Old Testament of your scripture. Psalms chapter 127. Psalms 127. And I sure appreciate you being here today and a part of our class. What a beautiful day outside. And we had gorgeous weather yesterday. Thank you for all those that came and were part of the hiking activity that we enjoyed. And we're looking forward already to the ladies event for the ladies of our class. And then in May, also doing a family game time. And we'll give you more information about that next Sunday. But we're looking forward to that as well. But thank the Lord for the beautiful day. Today, no wind, beautiful sunshine. And appreciate you taking advantage of it and being with us here in church and in class. Psalms chapter 127, and in verse number 3, we read, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And we, 3 weeks ago, began a brand new series entitled Parenting with Purpose. And then last week we began a study about parenting for positive results. How can we effectively spend our energy parenting for positive results? How can we produce the kind of results that would be pleasing to the Lord in our parenting? And I forgot to mention my brother, Jesse, and his wife, Brittany, are here and from Banning. And I think we should just encourage them to commute every weekend and be a part of our class and our church. But thanks for coming and being a part of today. And good to have all of our guests with us today, and didn't want to fail to say howdy to them. We had a great time yesterday, and included yesterday with the activity was some childcare. And it reminded me of the story of the couple that had secured a babysitter and then had gone out and had some dinner and had some time together. And they returned home to their home where the babysitter was, and she was watching the children. And when they came inside, they were shocked that all of the children had been bathed and had their pajamas and were already in bed. And they just were completely flabbergasted that this had taken place in their home. They had never experienced this type of thing before. And they were just thanking the sitter over and over again for the wonderful job that she did. And they just really were amazed that she had accomplished this. And they came home to find the children in the home in that type of order. And just as the babysitter was leaving and literally walking out the door, she turned around and she said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you one thing. I did promise your son that if he stayed in bed, that you would be giving him a pony in the morning." And they quickly learned how she accomplished those types of things. And you know what? Sometimes in parenting, we see maybe other parents or other families and we think, how in the world do they do that? It doesn't work that way in my home. And how grateful we are this morning for the fact that we can go to the Word of God, and the Word of God works in every home. And the Word of God works in every situation. Suzanne and I, with the activity last night, and then we had the privilege of having a few moments with Caesar and Marilou and just enjoying some food and fellowship. And I went home so encouraged by the difference that the Word of God can make. Because you know what? Everybody in this room comes from a different background. Everybody in this room experienced different things being raised by your parents. Everybody in this room has a different perspective and paradigm on life. But you know what universally works in every situation? The Word of God. The Word of God works, and God's plan is awesome, and it works. And if it's executed properly, it will produce the type of results that we desire to see in our homes. And so last week, we began this study, and we did so by examining four types of parenting and really asking ourselves, how were we reared, and how can we, with God's help, be the type of parents that we should be? And by way of review, very, very quickly, we looked at number one, the dominant parent. And this type of parent tends to produce some negative results. They have a high standard. They have high expectations, which we certainly don't disagree with. But they have no love, no affection, no care for their children that is being shown. And it produces some negative results. Secondly, we looked at the neglectful parent. The neglectful parent. And then we took some time to examine why are so many children in America today being raised by neglectful parents. Where's dad? Where's mom? What has happened? And we realized that one reason is the high divorce rate. The reason that parents are being neglected, children are being neglected, is because the parents aren't staying together. And so maybe it's mom trying to raise the children on her own, and she's having to be mom and dad, and she's having to provide the care and the provision of the meal or the mortgage or the rent or whatever the case may be. And the high divorce rate, no doubt, has plagued the homes in America today and has been a great cause for children to be raised in neglect. Then we looked at the increase of mothers in the workforce. And whether it's, again, because of the divorce rate and being left on their own, whether it's because of financial strain, or there could be a number of reasons, but when you take mom out of the home, when the children are there, there's oftentimes the feel of neglect. Then we talked about excessive television viewing, and we studied some statistics about the media craze in America today. And we spent a little bit of time here last week as we kind of wrapped up our lesson. It was just kind of something the Lord did. But we kind of paused and we said, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a moment of recreation. There's nothing wrong with maybe enjoying some time together as a family. But you have to be careful as to what you're viewing. What is your media intake? Is it edifying or is it compromising? And then how much is there? And it's amazing when you stop and think about the average American home, how much media is consumed with TV and video games and internet and all of that. And it just begs the reason, to the question to say, if I have time for all of that, do I also have time to read my Bible and pray, to go to church, to date my wife, to spend time with my kids, to be hardworking? Nobody has time to do it all. So we all have to say no to something. And in a lot of American homes, what we're saying no to is our children, and we're saying yes to media. And it should be the exact opposite. We should be saying no to media far more often than we're saying no to our children. We should spend far more time with them than we do in media and entertainment and things of that nature. And so we talked about that, and that's where we left off. Then we jump into brand new material today. Why are children being developed in neglect? Well, letter D, because of an increasingly mobile society. Because of an increasingly mobile society. Did you know that more than 50% of Americans change addresses every 5 years? Now, America is far more mobile than we used to be. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And they're not all wrong. But we are incredibly more apt to move more than America used to be. And there's some strengths about children growing up in the same home and children knowing those environments and children having yes, parents, but then friends and godly influences. And what I would challenge our moms and dads in the room today with this idea is not you can never move, but certainly as Christians that it would be according to the leading of the Lord. Our family recently moved last August, and it was a very difficult thing. But we knew in our hearts it's what the Lord had us to do. And so we followed Him, and the Lord may move you. Now, of course, for any class leader, their prayers, God, let everybody stay here forever. We don't want anybody to move. We want everybody to stay. We want to grow together in God. We want to add more people. This is exciting. But, you know, in a few months we've been here, we've already had to say goodbye to some people that we love that have moved, and the Lord has moved them, and we're praying for them. And we know that God moves people, and God moves people here to join us as well. But we want to be cognizant of this area of a mobile society. And I want to encourage you, and this could be a whole lesson, but when we learn about priorities in the Word of God, we know that our relationship with God is number one. Our relationship with our spouse is number two. Our relationship with our children is number three. Our ministry, what we do for God, I'm not talking vocationally, I'm just talking about being a Christian, is number four. And our job is number five. So be careful we're not moving for number five without consulting with number one. Be careful we're not moving because this is a nicer place or there's more money, but we're not consulting the Lord. Quite frankly, as God's children, we should never move unless He leads, because wherever He leads, that's where we want to be. And I don't care if this place over here promises the salary of a lifetime. If God isn't there, it doesn't matter how much money I'm making, it's not going to work. And my family will suffer the consequences. And so we want to be sensitive to the Lord in this area of an increasingly mobile society. But then thirdly, let's look at this type of parent, the permissive parent. The permissive parent. So we've seen the dominant parent. We've seen the neglectful parent. But now we see the permissive parent. And the permissive parent is the warm, supporting parent, but is also very weak in establishing and enforcing rules and limits for their children. The permissive parent is when someone is arrested for beating someone up or, you know, committing some heinous crime, and they're interviewing the mom, and the mom is crying, and she has her tissue, and she says, yes, but he's such a good boy, and he has such a good heart, and, you know, and just, you know, everything is fine, and they are great, and it probably wasn't their fault, you know? And there is a craze of permissive parenting in America today. One of the reasons for that is because there's a fear inside of mom and dad that if I'm not loving enough, if I'm harsh or if I'm strict, that I am somehow going to damage my child, that I'm somehow going to do something to them that damages them or hurts them in some way. And we're kind of being told this by society and culture around us that, boy, be careful how you speak to your children. And I'm certainly not advocating that we should yell at our children. I don't think we should ever raise our voices with our children at all. But when daddy says something, it should be done. And when daddy says don't do it, it should be adhered as well. And so we're being raised in a, and we're being influenced in a society and a culture that says, listen, you can't tell children what to do and what not to do. You can't tell them what's right and wrong because you're stifling their creativity. They need the opportunity to experience the world. They need to know kind of everything that's out there. They need to be able to experience everything, and then they need to be able to make up their own mind as to what's best for them. Okay? So go home tonight and say, listen, we no longer want to stifle your creativity. We want to let you choose what you do in life. How often would you like to bathe? And not one parent is going to agree with their child's decision because you want them to bathe much more often. You want the aroma of the home to be pleasant, and you want their rooms to not, you know, knock you over when you walk in the door and so forth. And so your standard in that area may be higher than theirs. And that's a simple illustration, but it's an enlightening illustration because the Bible commands you and I as mom and dad to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to provide instruction for their life. It's like this. We are to provide the rails for their train. We are to provide direction for their course. Now, where do we get that direction? From the Word of God. And then as we cultivate the relationship with God in our home, when they leave our home, Lord willing, they have the relationship with God where He's setting the direction in their home. So God chooses you and I as mom and dad to set the direction in their home at first. Then He uses us to cultivate a relationship between them and God so that when they leave our home, they have the kind of relationship with God where He is setting the direction of their life. That's what successful parenting is all about. And permissive parents do not accomplish that because permissive parents are handicapped with this fear of, well, we really can't say that. We can't be that, you know, emphatic about it. We can't be that dogmatic about it. There is a crippling effect to our children. Now, some permissiveness in parenting is healthy. What do you mean by that? I mean, to children, a clean shirt is not going to stay clean very long. To children, a tree is for climbing. To children, a mirror is for making faces. I mean, children want to run instead of walk. I mean, kids want to be kids. And I think we ought to teach respect for like the house of God or going to a funeral or a wedding. I'm not being overboard, but I think oftentimes we should let kids be kids. They're kids, and that's life from their perspective. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. So there's a healthy balance to letting a kid be a kid, but there certainly is an area for you and I to set direction, to set the course for the home, and to teach and to train in their lives. The following statements and actions are typical of permissive parents. Well, okay, you can stay up late this time. I know how much you like this show. Or, I hate to see you under all this stress from school. Why not stay at home and rest tomorrow, and I'll call and say, you're sick. Or, please don't get angry with me. You're making a scene. I want everything okay between you and I, and you're making things so very unpleasant. And that would be the conversation that potentially a permissive parent would have with their child. And so you have the dominant parent, you have the neglectful parent, and you have the permissive parent. And so far, I think we're all on the same page that that's probably not what we're striving to be, all right? But number four, we see the loving and firm parent. The loving and firm parent. And this indeed is our goal. This indeed is our desire. This indeed is the biblical picture of the privilege that we have to be a parent. Now, loving and firm parents typically have very clearly defined rules, limits, and standards for conduct, behavior in their lives and in their home. They take time to train their children so that there's an understanding of these limits and these expectations and these standards and rules. But then they also support that training and that execution with expressing physical affection and spending personal time with their children. Expressing love through physical affection, through touch, through love, through hugs, through those types of things, and also through spending personal time with their children. The loving and firm parent has a healthy balance and combination of really the dominant parent and the permissive parent. Having high expectations, having standards, having a goal to be attained in the life of your child, but then undergirding that with unconditional love and acceptance and affection for that child that God has given you. And we want to be loving and firm parents with our children. Now, what are some typical statements you might hear in this relationship? Well, you might hear, hey, I wish we could let you stay up later, but we agreed on this time. Remember what you're like the next day if you miss your rest. Or you say all of the other girls will be there. Well, I'd like to have more information first. You say, Brother Gabe, are you advocating that you should not trust your children? That's exactly what I'm advocating. Why? Because you know your mom and dad should have never trusted you. And sometimes I've heard parents say, I trust my kids, it's the devil I don't trust. And that's certainly true as well. But the Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. It's not just there a little bit, it's there all the time. And it's not long for you and I to reflect back to our childhood and then desire to go have a prayer session and say, God, please don't let my kids turn out anything like me. And we recognize the balance that must be there. Or we might hear, did you do your piano practice? Well, I hate to do this, but we agreed, no dinner before it is finished, but we'll keep it warm for you. The idea, the connection, the relationship of a loving but firm parent that is holding to the expectations and the rules that they have. Now, this parent who is supportive but is firm, who is loving but who has a standard and keeps the family according to that standard, is reflective of a specific biblical pattern of parenting. It stresses two important areas of parenting that the Bible says are prominent, that must happen in every home. Number one, one of the most important factors in raising children is training. To train. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Training. Training is one of the most important factors of parenting. Now, let's take a moment and let's differentiate teaching from training. Okay? Let's say that we've got some goodies and things here this morning, and we've got a donut right here, okay? Now, let's say that I'm going to train Caesar in relation to this donut, okay? And this might be something you might do at your home. Now, I could say, Caesar, you see that donut over there? And I know you want it. It's a delicious chocolate donut, but I don't want you to eat it, okay? Now, I've taught him not to eat that donut, but I've not trained him. There's a big difference between teaching and training. Teaching is the transfer of knowledge. He now has knowledge not to eat that donut, but I've not trained him. Here's what training is. Okay, and Caesar, will you help me? You come over here, okay? Now, let's say, and Caesar is a great sport, but let's say Caesar was my son, and I was training Caesar about this particular Danish, okay? And I might get with Caesar and say, now, Caesar, that's a delicious donut, isn't it? You'd like to have that donut, wouldn't you? But you know what? I don't want you to eat that donut. I don't want you to touch this donut. This donut right here is a no, no, no. You don't eat this donut. You don't touch this donut. You don't get anywhere near this donut. Now, Caesar, if you were to eat that donut, would you be obeying or disobeying?
Disobeying.
Now, Caesar, in our home, when we disobey, we get a spanking. The Bible says that it's my job as your dad to help you obey. So I want to make sure you understand we're not to eat this donut. And if you obey this donut, are you disobeying or obeying?
Disobeying.
And if we disobey in our home, what are you going to get? You understand. Okay, thank you. Now, that's training, but I'm not done yet. That's not really training. I've missed one part. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, if this were my son Joseph, who's three, which is what I've pictured in my mind, you know what he's going to do? He's going after the donut. He's too much like his dad. I mean, he's like, man, there's a chocolate donut. I'm going. So I'm not done training yet. Why? And listen to me very carefully. Because if Joseph comes over here and he eats that chocolate donut, and I come in the room and I say, Joseph, what are you doing? I told you not to eat that donut. What a bad boy. I told you not to. Now, don't you ever do that again. Then I've lied. All I have taught him is I really don't mean what I say. Because I did not do what I said I would do. That does not make me a loving parent. That does not make me a merciful parent. That does not make me a nice parent. Honestly, that makes me a bad parent. Because I am crippling this child for life. I am not preparing him to live in society, and I am certainly not preparing him to have a relationship with God who expects obedience in my life and in yours. So true parenting means that I establish the standard of our home. Joseph, do not eat this donut. And if I walk in the room and Joseph eats that donut, I say, Joseph, did you eat this donut? Yes, sir. Did I tell you not to eat this donut? Yes, sir. Did you disobey? Yes, sir. Put the donut down and go to your room. And I make sure that in my life there's no anger. And then I go into that room and I say, Joseph, Daddy sure loves you. And Daddy wants you to be the best boy that you can possibly be. But Daddy and you talked about that donut. And Daddy said, don't eat that donut. And you ate that donut, didn't you? Yes, sir. Did you disobey? Yes, sir. What happens in our home when you disobey? A spanking. Okay, let's have prayer. And I'll take Joseph, and I typically will sit on a chair, and Joseph will stand in front of me, and I'll hold his hands, and I'll say, Joseph, let's pray. Dear Jesus, would you help me as Joseph's dad to love him? Would you help me as Joseph's dad to bring him up in an environment where he's expected to obey and to do right the first time? Would you help this spanking to restore his heart to mine and to make our relationship what it should be? Help me to be loving in every way. And then I'll be done praying, and I'll ask Joseph to bend over my knee. I've never forced my child. I had the privilege of learning this early on in parenting. And Joseph will walk around, and he'll lay himself over my knee. And I'll spank Joseph. And I won't like it. I won't enjoy it. But it's what I must do if I'm going to parent the biblical way. And it doesn't make me a better parent because, well, I just don't think that that fits in society. I'm sorry, I'm just convinced God's word works in any type of society and culture. I had the privilege of growing up in a home where I was biblically loved and biblically parented. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I've had the privilege now of working with families, and I've seen God's word work, and I've seen God's word ignored, and I've seen the outcome. And I stand before you to say I'm totally convinced God's way works. I'm not advocating to go home and start beating your kids. And if you have no idea what biblical spanking is, and we're going to get into that in a couple lessons down the road, but I'm advocating that firm, loving parenting is training. And training is not telling children what to do. We have so confused Proverbs 22. Oh, Brother Gabe, I train. I tell my kids what to do all the time. Can I tell you something? In love, you're nagging them. You're not training them. I know you tell them what to do all the time. The difference between training and teaching is teaching them with consequences. It's saying, this is what we will do, or this is what we will not do. And when it is done, it is praised. And when it is not done, the consequence is administered. Which, by the way, folks, is life. When we drive the speed limit, we get good insurance rates. When we speed all the time, we pay lots of tickets. When we go to work every day on time and work hard, we get raises. When we call in sick all the time and we're lazy, we get fired. When we love God and walk with God, we get blessed. When we ignore God's word and we disobey, we get cursed. You see what I'm saying? This is life. But somehow we've decided in our homes, life doesn't apply. We can train our children that they never have to do right, they never have to obey the first time, and somehow it's all going to be okay because we love them. we're not truly preparing them for life. We're crippling them for the reality they're about to face. So it's training. It's training. And there's some books I'd recommend, and there's some lessons we'll teach later on that I don't have time for this morning. But it's training. It's training. And training is teaching, but making sure they understand there's a consequence. We're going to do this. And when it's not adhered, that the consequence is administered. And it may be a spanking. It may be something else. And we'll talk about biblical discipline and how it applies. And again, please understand, I'm not advocating to go home and beat your child. I don't think you should beat your child. But I think that as the Word of God teaches us about physical discipline within the home, that there is a proper way to use it. There is the right time for it, and it will produce results that you and I cannot believe. I've had, not the privilege, but I've had the responsibility of spanking all my children several times, obviously. I mean, I was the first of four, so the firstborn always gets a ton of spanking. So my brother's here to testify to that today, but because the firstborn is making all the mistakes, you know. But I've had a time of this in my home, and then Joseph will get back in front of me, and he's crying, and I'll say, "Joseph, I sure love you, son. Daddy wants you to be the best boy that you can be, and Daddy wants you to obey the first time." And I'll wipe away his tears, and we'll have prayer. And without fail, and this is just to God's grace, I've not left that room without my children hugging my neck and saying, "Dad, I love you. Thank you. Thank you." You want to know why? Because there's something in there that just got made right. There's something in there that just was let go. There was rebellion. There was sin. There was disobedience. There was something that just was cleaned out. And I'm telling you, there's a connection between a parent and a child following biblical training that is unlike anything else. But not only training, but secondly and lastly, there must be love. There must be love. And I'm out of time, and I'm going to wrap this up right now. Brother Gabe, are you big on training? I'm huge on training. I work at training all the time. I've read a ton of books on training, and I'm a student of training. I'm not an expert on training. I have so much to learn. I've made a ton of mistakes, a lot of which I'm sharing with you. But you know what I have learned? Training alone is not enough. I cannot just train, I cannot just discipline, I cannot just carry through with consequences. There must be love. So there needs to be a balance of training and love. There needs to be training, there needs to be standards, there needs to be expectation. Your children need to know what you expect and what happens when they don't meet them. That needs to be clear. But then there needs to be love. There needs to be love. There needs to be a tenderness. There needs to be a love. You say, "Brother Gabe, where do we get this idea of training?" Our relationship with God. Doesn't he describe his relationship with us as he is our father and we're his child? Doesn't he say that a loving father chastens his son betimes, which means many times? Do we not all know what it means to be chastised by the Lord? Man, we've all gotten a spanking from God before. We've all made a mistake and boom, God let us know the error of our way. But it drew us closer to him. It reminded us that we are loved by God, that we are valuable in his sight, and that our relationship with him is so vitally important. So we have to train, but then we must love. And our children must be convinced that it's love. It's not anger that's driving training. It's not frustration that's driving consequence or discipline. It's not my child embarrassed me so they're going to get it. Oh, no. In a biblical home where there's proper training, what drives the parent to follow through on their word and provide biblical consequence of discipline is one thing, love. Love. It's what drives a parent to do it. By the way, listen to me. It's far more work to do what I just talked about than to yell at some kid and walk out of the room. It's far more work to do what I just talked about than to go stick them in the room for 3 hours and then come back and get them. Like that timeout just somehow miraculously healed their heart. What I'm describing right here is a whole lot more work. It's painstaking. It's exhausting. But it's right. It's God's way. And when there's a balance of training and love, it's incredible, the product. And I hope and pray in this series, and we're just getting started, but that we'll parent with purpose, that we'll decide we're going to parent for positive results. We're not going to be dominant. We're not going to be neglectful. We're not going to be just doing our own thing or hurting our children or trying to be mean to them in some way. We're not going to be permissive and let them get away with everything. We're going to be loving and kind. We're going to be loving and firm. We're going to train, but we're going to love. We're going to train, but we're going to love. We're going to train, but we're going to love. And the training is going to be out of a heart of love. And God will use it in a significant way. And I pray that God will encourage us and challenge us to be those types of parents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege we have to be together this morning. We pray that you would bless your word and apply it to our hearts and our lives in a significant way, that indeed we would strive to parent with purpose, to see positive results, and to balance training and loving in our home and our relationship with our children. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.